The federal regulations known as net neutrality are officially no more. Back in December, the Federal Communications Commission voted to scrap the Obama-era rules, which blocked broadband providers from slowing or blocking internet traffic selectively. That repeal went into effect today. Supporters of the repeal, including FCC Chairman Ajit Pai, say net neutrality stifled innovation. Those in favor of the protection say they were needed to keep the internet open and free. They also say that despite this repeal, the fight to restore net neutrality isn't over yet. Christopher Terry is an assistant professor of media ethics and law at the Hubbard School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Minnesota. By the way, he got his PhD at UW-Madison, his master's at UW-Milwaukee. Chris, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, Chris, depending on who you talk to, nothing at all changes today, no big deal, or this is a pivotal moment in the decline of the internet. Can you tell us what's at stake here?
Well, what's fundamentally different today as opposed to yesterday is who has control over internet content. Under the 2015 rules, consumers had the power to determine what content they wanted to access without interference from their ISP. Now the balance of power switches over to the ISPs, and they have the ability to determine what content you're allowed to access and at what speeds. And that's a fundamental change.
So these internet service providers, the argument from Ajit Pai and others who favor getting rid of net neutrality is they have no incentive to do this. They say they're not going to do this. They didn't do it before the net neutrality rules were in place. Do you find that reassuring?
I find it disingenuous entirely. We are at this point because of the exact fact that Comcast and the others have done blocking and throttling of content. The process that led to the 2015 rules began in 2004 with a GOP-led FCC passing rules that Comcast was found to have violated in 2008, which led to the first of three court cases over net neutrality. So the idea that they're not going to do this is entirely speculative, but history showed us that, A, that they have done it, and B, Verizon has even argued that the only thing keeping them from having doing it in a much more aggressive way was the fact that they were unsure where the rules would ultimately end up. So,
talk about blocking and throttling. How does that work on a practical level, and then what does that internet user at their phone or their computer see?
Well, blocking is just a straight, outright ban on your ability to access certain websites. It's most closely associated with what happened in the Comcast case back in 2008 and 2009, where Comcast internet subscribers were not allowed to go to peer-to-peer sites like torrent sites, for example. It just was an outright ban on accessing that type of application and website. Throttling is the idea that the speed at which content is delivered to you varies on depending on what content you're looking at. So where we saw throttling most actively was in the period between the Verizon decision, which happened in 2014, and the decision which led to today's order in 2015, where lots of companies had slowed Netflix down to the point to where it was essentially unusable by consumers.
During an appearance today on CBS This Morning, Ajit Pai, the FCC head, was asked about the possibility of companies striking these kind of anti-competitive throttling deals, a hypothetical example being, say, AT&T striking a deal with Netflix and blocking out something like Hulu. Here's what Pai had to say about that.
We have empowered the Federal Trade Commission to take action against any company, including those in the situation that you mentioned, that might act in any competitive way. So consumer is going to be protected, and we preserve the incentive for companies to build out better, faster, cheaper internet access for consumers across the country.
So the Federal Trade Commission would step in and stop this kind of anti-competitive behavior, he's saying. Are you reassured?
That's an interesting argument. The Federal Trade Commission does not actually have the statutory authority to do what he describes in that clip there, although I'm unsure if he was being inarticulate in his attempt to get a soundbite in there or in his actual approach. The FTC can only do consumer protection. And what they're allowed to do in these terms are if your internet service provider is blocking or throttling you, they have to disclose that as part of their practices, but they're allowed to do it as long as they disclose. It's only at the point to where they're blocking you or throttling you, your ISP is blocking or throttling you, without disclosure that the Federal Trade Commission would have any authority, and that's a reach at that, to say to the ISP that they're in violation of net neutrality.
Talking to Christopher Terry, Assistant Professor of Media Ethics and Law at the University of Minnesota, about the end of net neutrality. It ended in effect today. Chris, let's talk about the ongoing fight here. There's action in Congress. The Senate took action. They're looking. Democratic senators wrote a letter to Paul Ryan to say, hey, House, get on board there. What's going on in Congress now?
Congress is in the midst of passing what's known as a CRA, which is a check and balance that Congress has over administrative agencies. What the CRA does effectively is it essentially tells the FCC that Congress does not agree with its decision to repeal the 2015 Title II rules and that it should reinstate those rules. Now, that works through the quirks of administrative law that the FCC has to do what Congress tells it to do. Although it does have some independence, Congress can come back to an agency when it doesn't like the decision that's made and through a CRA order the agency to change its decision-making process. That's what the CRA is doing. The Senate passed that. It's sort of languishing in the House at this point.
Do you expect anything to happen in the House with this?
I would be skeptical, but I don't think it's entirely impossible. I think depending on how ISPs react to the passage of this today, you could see it become a pretty significant issue just before the election.
Do you think that Congress, whether this particular action goes through or not, do you think Congress needs to step in and do something to clarify this issue?
Yeah, and I've been very clear on that for a long time. I actually thought Congress should have stepped in right after the Comcast decision in 2009 and at least told the FCC what authority it was supposed to have. Part of the issue over Title II is that the Congress has not told the FCC how it wants the Internet handled in a formal way through a statutory delegation since 1996. And if you remember what the Internet was like in 1996, it looks fundamentally different than it does today. Congress shares part of the blame in this kerfuffle that we're having now in that they haven't given the FCC a clear set of guidelines one way or the other for that matter in more than 20 years.
We're in a big election year for Congress. If you look around online, some people are really up in arms about the end of net neutrality. But when it comes to voting, do enough voters to care about this to have this be an influence on how a member of, say, the House would vote?
I don't know the answer to that, I'll be honest. But I do think it is potentially the kind of political issue that can rally disparate groups together. Support for net neutrality is bipartisan among citizens, although not necessarily among legislators. And I think it's the kind of issue that, with proper mobilization, could be a significant political issue in the fall.
I want to dig into something you said earlier. These Internet service providers would have to disclose if they're doing some of these actions we talk about, slowing down some websites in favor of, say, their business partners elsewhere. Well, what would that disclosure look like? Is this, you know, in the terms of service that we all maybe glance at the subject headers at most?
Yeah, it would be addendums to the terms of service, most likely.
We'll leave it there. Chris, thanks a lot for joining us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
That's Christopher Terry, Assistant Professor of Media Ethics and Law at the Hubbard School of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Minnesota. He joins us to talk about the repeal of net neutrality, which went into effect today.